So I just saw this song in our songbook, and this would have been a good one for me to pick for tonight. I don't know it, and I don't know if y'all know it, but let me give you the first verse. It says, "Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray." And that's what we're learning tonight from through John. The Lord is teaching us to pray. Our subject is according to his will. That's the key to this passage. According to his will. Let's begin in verse 14 and read it again. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Now let's just look at this before we get into it. God only hears those who ask according to his will. That's what he's telling us. We have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, God hears us. He only hears those who ask according to his will. But those who he hears, he always grants our petitions. If we pray according to his will, he hears us. And all who he hears, he grants our petition. And so he says, so if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. True prayer is a believer submissively asking for God to do his will in whatever it is we're asking for. You follow that? It's whatever it is we're asking God, we're asking God to do his will. Not just saying those words, but truly that's our heart. We want God's will to be done. That's true prayer. That's true prayer. That's the end purpose of prayer, to bring us to submit to God's will, to ask God to do whatever he's willing to do in the whatever the situation is. Now, I want to look at three things here. I want to look at our confidence to approach God in prayer, and then our confidence that he hears us, and then our confidence that we have our petitions. First of all, it's only through faith in Christ that we have confidence to approach unto God in prayer. He says here, it begins with the word "and." And so that means verse 13 goes with this. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." We're writing to believers here. And he says, "I've written this that you might know you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him." You see who our confidence is in? Our confidence is in Christ. So I'm only going to have confidence in approaching God in prayer if first I believe on the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we're going to come to God, the only way to come to God is through his Son, through faith in his Son. He's the truth, and there's no coming to the Father but by him. He's the way. There's no coming to God but by him. So we got to have, first we got to believe on Christ and trust him alone before we can come to God. We come to him through faith in Christ. He's all our confidence to come to God in prayer. So it's only sinners who believe on the name of the Son of God who have confidence in him as we approach God in prayer. Now look at this next thing. Our confidence in Christ is that God our Father will hear us. He says there, verse 14, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, it does not say, if we ask anything, He heareth us. It doesn't say that. This vainly religious world treats prayer like it's a blank check. You just write in the amount, and God gives you whatever you want. That's not what He said. He said, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's the only ones He hears, those who ask according to His will. But if you ask according to His will, He hears you. He hears you. Well, what's His will? How do we ask according to God's will? Well, I tried to break this down into two things. It involves the manner in which we come to God. That's the first thing, the manner in which we come to God. It's God's will that we come to Him in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is much more than just saying those words. When we come before the Father, we come owning His Son to be our Lord Jesus Christ. We come owning Him. We own Him to be our Lord, our King, our Master. And we're submitted to Him. We're subservient to Him. And this is our heart. This is our heart is submission to Him as our Lord. And we come before the Father, owning His Son to be our Lord. We come before the Father, owning His Son to be our Jesus. That name means Savior. His name should be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from our sins. We come owning Him. We don't just say the name Jesus as a name of familiarity. Don't ever pray in familiarity with God. That's not what we're talking about here. Your children don't come in, Kevin, and go, "Hey, Kevin," do they? And we don't use that name with familiarity. When we use that name, we're saying He's our Savior, because that's what His name means. And we're coming to God owning that He is the Christ. He is God's anointed, sent one, who God chose to be the salvation and the righteousness and the holiness and the redemption and the wisdom of His people. We're owning Him to be everything. We're owning ourselves to be sinners, and we're owning Christ to be all when we come to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:20. Paul said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn over to Hebrews 10, just a few pages to your left. Approaching God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying that our confidence is His blood. Our confidence in approaching unto God is the blood of Christ. That's what we're saying. Look here, Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness, confidence, to enter into the holiest, that is, into God's very presence. That's what we're doing when we're praying. You ever think about that? When we pray, we're coming into God's presence. Into God's presence. The holiest of holies. They wouldn't dare, that holiest of holies in the tabernacle, they wouldn't dare go in there. Nobody could go in there but the high priest. We're going into God's very presence in the holiest of holies. Listen to this, but we're doing this by the blood of Jesus. That's our confidence. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. His people deserve to die for our sins. But our Lord Jesus Christ took our sins, and He took our curse, and He gave His flesh, His body, to be broken and bruised in His blood, so that our blood would not be shed and our body would not be broken under the justice of God. And so, it's His flesh, His broken body, His shed blood that is our new way of entering into that holiest of holies. Not like the old holiest of holies and not like the way they entered the old holiest of holies. We have a new way to enter, and it's Jesus Christ, our crucified Lord. And that's how we, and because He's risen, it's a living way. Our way's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. So we're coming, and this is God's will right here, for us to come through the blood of Christ in the name of His Son. Through the blood of Christ, through His broken body, we approach God. This is our confidence to approach Him. We come making mention of His righteousness when we come in the name of His Son. And then by praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying to the Father that our confidence is that Christ is our great high priest. Look at verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. You know, the high priest, he was the only one that could go into the holiest of holies. And he went by himself, and he went with blood. He went with the blood of a lamb. And he would take that blood, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat and make atonement for the sins of the children of Israel. Well, Christ is our high priest. And He's entered in not to that tabernacle made with hands. He's entered into God's very presence. And He's not entered in with the blood of a lamb. He's entered in with His own blood. And He's accomplished our eternal redemption. And He's our confidence for coming to God in prayer. He's our confidence. And then our confidence is approaching in full assurance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that the reason we have faith and the reason we have this confidence and trust His blood and trust His righteousness alone and have this confidence to approach God is because He's made us holy. Look here, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Where do we get that true heart? Where do we get this full assurance of faith? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's in the blood of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And having our bodies washed with pure water. That is in the washing of regeneration. This is according to God's will. This is praying according to God's will. It's the manner in which we come. We come in His Son. And we're welcome. We're welcome. And so this is our confidence. We have boldness. We have confidence that the Lord will receive us when we pray to Him in prayer. Whenever Will's friends come over to the house, they'll knock on the door and they'll stand there and I'll yell, "Come in!" You know, and they just stand there at the door. And I'll yell louder, "Come on in!" They'll stand there at the door. And I'm going to have to get up out of my chair and go open the door for them. I'll go over there and I'll open the door for them and they'll walk in and mumble around, you know, and they come in real timid and want to know where Will's at, you know, and they'll just stand there till I tell them where to go, and they take off. My children come in that door, and they just walk right in it, and they just have all boldness and all confidence to walk in, and they don't come in any way like Will's friends do. Those are my children, and I'm their father, and that's their house, and they know they're welcome anytime. That's what he's talking about. We have this confidence because of Christ and what he's done for us. That's what it is to come to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's to come through faith in Christ, owning him to be everything, and that's our confidence. So the first thing in prayer, according to God's will, is the manner in which we pray. If we're going to pray in God's will, it's the manner in which we pray. We come submitted to His Son, believing on His Son, owning His Son, to be our all. That's the first thing. It's God's will. That's how we come. And it's the manner in which we come. All right? The second thing to approach God according to God's will involves what we ask for. What we ask for. This is what we generally think about when we think about according to God's will. We think about what we're asking for. Well, that is included. When God gives a new heart, that heart's contrite. That means we're in submission and resignation to God's will. Our will's no longer the important thing anymore. God's will is what's important now. That's the new heart He gives. And we want God's will to be done. Even when God gives you difficult trials and severe trials, we have our flesh that's going to go against us. But in our heart of hearts, where we're in our new man, we want God's will to be done. And that's the heart He's given us. That's why we know that it's there. That's the heart He's given you. When God told Eli all the trouble that was going to come on his house, and how his sons were going to die, and the priesthood was going to be taken from Eli, that was some severe news that he got. And you know what how he responded? It's the Lord's will. Let him do what seemeth to him good. It's his will. It's not God's will to give us simply what we want. That's not what he's saying. There's a vast difference between what we want and what we need. A vast difference. You ask and receive not, James said, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. That's asking in the flesh. When we ask just what we want, that's what our flesh wants. And we ask amiss when we do that. If we ask what is not God's will, God will not give us what we ask. He won't hear us. And he won't grant that petition if we're asking something that's not God's will to give. But the Holy Spirit will teach us. Remember we saw in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit will teach us. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will teach us and give you the heart to pray for what you should pray for. And we have Paul as the example of that. Paul was given, God gave Paul that thorn in the flesh. And he gave it to him for a reason. It was God's will that he have that thorn in his flesh. Well, Paul goes to praying that the Lord would remove it. Well, that was not God's will to remove it. And that would have been the worst thing for Paul if he'd have removed it. Remember why he gave it to him? Paul said, "Lest I be exalted above measure because of all this abundance of revelations that God had given him." God kept him humble by giving him a thorn in the flesh. You can be certain of this. You want to be blessed of God. You want to have some abundant revelations from God and know some things and be able to teach things. And well, you just know this. As you get those and God gives you those, He's going to give you something to keep you humble too when He gives you that. And so, but God didn't hear him. He would not grant that petition to him. But he sent the Spirit of God and he taught Paul that his grace is sufficient. And that was another reason he gave him that thorn, to teach him that his grace is sufficient. And so he brought Paul into submission to his will. And Paul ended up saying, "So now I'm thankful for my infirmities. I'm thankful when I'm in these trials and in these situations that I'm so weak, I have no power in me. Then I know my strength's Christ." And that's when I'm really strong, when all my strength is Christ alone. Not me at all. That's when I'm strong. So be careful to make certain when we pray, be careful to make certain our petitions to God are not just wants of the flesh, but that it's according to God's will. Let's look at some of those. Go to Ephesians 6. We have God's will all through the Scriptures. And that's how you know what it's God's will to pray for. I'm just going to give you a couple of things here. But Ephesians 6:18 Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's God's will we pray in the Spirit. Now, you and I don't have much control over that, but the Spirit of God will see to it we pray in the Spirit. But that's God's will, we pray in the Spirit. And it's not going to be some flippant, yippity-doo thing that you see going on in churches. It's going to be a serious matter when you really, truly pray. And it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. This is God's will. We're watching for the proper time to pray. It's not always the time to pray. We're watching for time to pray when we'll not be interrupted, when we'll not be tempted to stop. There's a time to pray. And because he says, watch and persevere in prayer. Don't stop. Continue. And we're watching for God to give us the petition that we pray for. We pray expecting God to give us the petition we pray for. This is all God's will in how we're to pray. And he says, persevering. That means you don't stop. It's importunate. You continue asking. God's not going to give it to you just the second you ask him. He's going to make you keep asking. And he says, and supplication for all saints and for me. This is God's will. We pray for God's saints and God's preachers. Pray for all his saints and pray for his preachers. He says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that's something that's will, God's will right there for us to pray in that manner and that for those things. Go with me to Matthew 6. This is our Lord model teaching us to pray, and this is where we learn what to pray for. Matthew 6. Now he's not, you know that the Lord's not telling us to use these words. We're not just supposed to repeat this like folks do. This is just telling you, this is a model, a guideline of what to pray for. Look at Matthew 6:9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's God's will for us to ask for God's name to be sanctified above all others. That's what hallowed means. His name to be, for him to be sanctified above all. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's God's will we pray for the good of his kingdom. For God's will to be done in his kingdom, in this earth and in heaven, just in earth, just like it is in heaven. Look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. See that? God's will is for us to pray for today's bread. Just ask him for today's bread, not tomorrow's. Just grace for today. Just today's needs. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's God's will that we confess our sins to him and ask God's forgiveness and that we forgive others. And he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's God's will we ask him to keep us and deliver us from trial. He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's God's will for us to give him all the glory and all the preeminence. This is praying in God's, according to God's will. This is all God's will right here. So praying in God's will involves the manner in which we pray. We come in the name of his Son, giving him all preeminence, and it's what we pray. These things that are God's will. I've just given you a few. There's a host of things in the scriptures that you can see what others prayed for and how God answered or didn't answer. And you can find out what is God's will for us to pray. Now, we have this confidence in Christ that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. When you pray according to God's will, he will hear you. All who pray according to his will, He will hear you if you pray according to His will. God is the Father of His children, and He will never turn a deaf ear to the cry of His child. In fact, even when He doesn't hear you, if you pray something that's not His will and He doesn't hear you so as to grant your petition, that's still hearing you in a sense, because He's not going to give you what's not good for you. He's going to only give you what you need and what's for your edification and for His glory. And so you can count on that. That's what He's going to give. But you think about the first hour that you truly prayed to the Father was when He gave you a new heart and taught you what a sinner you were. And the first thing that you really cried out to God was, you cried out to Christ, to the Lord, to have mercy on you. Confessed your sin and you asked for mercy. That was according to God's will, and He heard you, didn't He? And ever since then, when you've prayed according to His will, He hears you. Now that we have this confidence, we come in the name of His Son, praying according to His will, and He hears us. That's our confidence. Now lastly, look at this. Knowing the Lord hears us, we know we have the petitions we desire of Him. He says, verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now the key is still praying according to God's will. God's going to do everything according to His will. And His will does not change. God does not change, and His will does not change. God only hears if we ask according to God's will. But when we ask according to His will, He hears us. And all who He hears, He grants our petition. So, everything in salvation was according to God's will. He said He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will. When our Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But it wasn't the Father's will. And so the Father didn't let the cup pass from Him. Our Lord Jesus drank the cup, and wicked hands did exactly what God determined before to be done, what was His eternal will to be done. That's what took place. So see, when He doesn't give us, when we pray, Lord, if it's Your will, do this, and He doesn't, it's not His will, and He does not give you what you're asking for, it's not always bad, is it? He didn't give our Savior what our Savior prayed for because it wasn't His will. And because He didn't give Him what He asked for, Christ went to the cross and He accomplished the salvation of His people. Our Lord did that, teaching us that lesson, because He knew the will of the Father. But you get it. You get what I'm saying, don't you? It's not always a bad thing when He doesn't give you what you ask for. And we have an inheritance now. We've obtained an inheritance in Christ because we were predestinating according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. Nothing changes God's will. God's immutable. His will is immutable. It doesn't change. It never has changed, ever. I can't even fathom that. Our will changes just before we get out the door in the morning. God's will never has ever changed. Well, why then pray if His will's not going to change? Well, God uses the means of prayer to change us, to bring us in submission to His will. That's what prayer's about. Men are always saying, you know, prayer changes things. Only His child. It doesn't change God. It changes His child. It brings us into submission to God, but it doesn't change God or change what God's going to do. Because God's determined the end from the beginning. And that's what's coming to pass. Prayer is God making His child submit to God's will. You know, over in Ezekiel 36, I won't have you turn there, but the Lord said exactly what He was going to do. He said, He said, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. He's saying what I will do. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. You'll be my people. I will be your God. He told him everything he was going to do for his people. And then he said, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. In other words, God already determined what his will is and what he will do. But he says, yet my people are going to ask me to do it for them. And that's what God's doing in everything that he brings us to ask him for. He's already determined what he's going to do. He's bringing you into submission to his will to ask, Lord, do this according to your will. And that's what he hears. And everybody he hears, he grants our petitions. And we forget what to pray for as we ought. We could read it, but something comes into our life that's real personal and it's real painful and we want it to stop, and we start praying for what we want. But the Spirit of God puts prayer in our heart, teaches us what to pray for as we ought. You've experienced that, how you're going through a trial and it's lasted a long time, and you've been praying, and one day God works in your heart, and you realize, I'm going to quit praying for that. And you begin to really pray for God to do what he will. And that's what he does. And everything is fine then. Everything's fine then when you're brought to that place. We ask in Christ's name for his glory. We ask God to do according to his will. We ask him to give his lost child a new heart, take out the stony heart. And that's what God does. Because he determined before he ever made anything, that's what he would do. See, we're not changing God's will in prayer. We're being brought into submission to God's will to ask what we will. So here's my message. I told Ben earlier today, I said, let me give you my message. I said, if you want to know that God always hears you and that you always have the petition you ask, then in everything you ask, ask God's will to be done. It's that simple. Just ask God's will to be done. We got an all-wise Father who knows the end from the beginning, who knows what he's going to do, who's going to do it the best way, the wisest way. It's going to be best for me, best for all my brethren. It's going to be to his praise and his glory and his honor. It's going to exalt Christ to the highest. Why on earth wouldn't I just say, Lord, do it according to your will? I don't even know what's going to come to pass. He knows it all. So why wouldn't I just say, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm happy. Just do whatever your will is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. All right.